Welcome to church today. Welcome to those watching online. My name is Austin, and I have the honor and privilege of studying God's word with you today. As you can see from the back wall, the title of our time together today is called The Rise of AI and the Future of the Church. Today's Bible study is going to be a little different than we normally just go through the Bible cover to cover, and we dig it out, and we study it, and today, though, is going to be a little bit different. Listen, our heart here at Cornerstone will never change. We go, again, from Genesis to Revelation, teaching the entirety of the Bible, giving you the full counsel of God's word. My dad has been faithful to do that for years and years, but our heart here at Cornerstone also is to address current events through a biblical lens with a biblical worldview. And so today I felt led to discuss the growing popularity of artificial intelligence. Now, a quick disclaimer, some of the things I'll mention today may be a little heavy for young ears, so I do want to give parents notice. You're more than welcome to take advantage of our children's ministry today. But some of the more popular questions I personally receive from people here have to do with the rise, the growth of artificial intelligence, and how, as believers, should we respond to the AI revolution? How should we, as believers, be thinking biblically about all of this? So with that being said, this is what's on tap for today. I hope that we have a little bit of fun and we dissect this topic with a biblical lens. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. God, we are so grateful to be here together today as a church body. We do pray and ask, God, that you would give us wisdom and discernment concerning artificial intelligence, that using the tool of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would speak to our hearts today. Pray for those who came in here today that need your encouragement. Would you encourage them now by your Spirit, God? I pray for those who need to be comforted. Would you comfort them? Pray that you would teach us now, Lord, that you would dissect our hearts wide open as the great physician, and that you would go to work now by your Spirit through your word. We love you. We submit all of this to you and ask that you would accomplish your purposes in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The following statement that I'm about to make might seem like an over-exaggeration to some, but I personally don't believe it is for a moment. And it's this, that we are headed into an AI-dominant world. We are headed into an AI-dominant world. Now, I do not say this to scare anyone, to incite paranoia or fear or to cause worry. Listen, as believers, we need not dread the future because we know who holds it, right? Listen, if you're a Christian today, if you came in here and you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you're on Team Jesus. And the Bible then says that we are not fighting for victory any longer. The victory was won in Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. He defeated death and sin, rose from the dead. And so we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. We know how the story ends. We have His word. And if you're not on Team Jesus, listen, you need to get on Team Jesus real quick. And the way that you get on Team Jesus, again, is you repent of sin and trust in Christ. The invitation is broad. God casts the net out wide to all who would receive Him. To them that believe on His name, He gave the right to become children of God. The Bible says, Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write this, that God desires that none would perish, but all to come to repentance. You see, that's God's heart for us. That's God's heart for lost humanity, that all would come to repentance, that they'd recognize, that we would recognize we're a sinner in need of God's mercy and grace. So we look to Jesus and what He did for us on the cross through His death and resurrection. As many as would believe in Jesus, they could find everlasting life. So you need to get on Team Jesus. If you're here and you're still on the fence or you're still a little curious, let me push you over the fence just to give you a little loving nudge in Jesus' name. Come on Team Jesus. It's the best decision you will ever make. You need to get on Team Jesus quick because the Bible says He's returning for His bride. And no man knows the day or the hour, but it could happen at any moment. And so you need to think seriously about the God-man, Jesus Christ. Now, some might be thinking, listen, is this really that big of a threat? Artificial intelligence, is this that big of a deal to devote a whole Sunday message on it? You think that maybe saying we're headed into an AI-dominant world just is a little bit extreme, Austin? Or maybe some of you, you're here today and you think, listen, Austin, I'm just really not a techie person. Like, I can barely sign into my email on my smartphone, and so I'm just really not into technology. I'm just not into AI, and I get it. I totally understand, but AI is into your kids, and AI is into this next generation, and so the implications of what artificial intelligence is and the consequences of it are vast and extreme, are touching the lives of the next generation in ways that you wouldn't believe. Artificial intelligence is not only impacting our kids, our families, our homes, but it's impacting the modern church. And we're going to get into all of this. Here's a, by way of just kind of catching you up to speed with all that's going on and how this is really impacting specifically the next generation, I mean, I have just a few articles. This was a CBN article that says, parents say AI chatbots are leading kids to take their own lives or commit sexual acts. A part of the article went on to say, chatbots are digital characters that can text and talk with users of any age. Unfortunately, experts have found this latest advance can also respond with disturbing suggestions, including violence, sexually explicit conversations, and ideas about self-harm. Listen, according to Common Sense Media, 72% of America's teenagers say they have used chatbots as companions, and nearly 1 in 8 have sought emotional or mental health support from them. Here was a BBC News article that was from just a month ago. Family of dead teen says ChatGPT's new parental controls not enough. How many of you have heard of ChatGPT? By show of hands, the whole room. And in response, partly in response to this, just less than 2 weeks ago, AP News put out this article, California governor vetoes bill to restrict kids' access to AI chatbots. Should be no surprise to us considering who the governor of California is. The article went on to say California Governor Gavin Newsom just less than 2 weeks ago vetoed landmark legislation that would have restricted children's access to AI chatbots. The bill would have banned companies from making AI chatbots available to anyone under 18 years old unless the businesses could ensure the technology couldn't engage in sexual conversations or encourage self-harm. And Newsom vetoed that bill. No surprise. Now, these are only but a few news articles that I could tell you about. And again, I don't mean to incite fear in any way, but rather to equip us biblically on how to approach this subject. Listen, I got an email from a mom just last month, and she had no idea what ChatGPT was, but her son was using it for personal devotions. And she was emailing just seeking biblical counsel. I don't know what this is, but my son is asking this AI software Bible questions, life questions, seeking wisdom and counsel from this AI technology. Can you give me some biblical counsel? And these are the types of questions we're receiving as a church. Kids, and not just kids, they're getting advice, counsel, looking to get their Bible questions and life's questions answered, not from God's word, not from God's spirit, not from godly parents, but from artificial intelligence. And it's right in their pockets. Here are a few of the questions that I'm going to do my best to address with us this morning. Number one, what is artificial intelligence? Because we kind of have to have a working definition for what AI actually is before we then can understand how to respond biblically. Number two, what are the benefits and what are the potential dangers, risks, and concerns of AI? How is AI impacting the modern church, and does the Bible even address it? And then finally, as believers, how should we respond to the AI revolution? So we'll do our best to address this subject biblically. First question is, what is artificial intelligence? Let's have a working definition. Now, researchers actually first coined the term AI in 1956 when they believed that every aspect of learning and intelligence could be built into a machine. Now, according to AI, which is Microsoft's co-pilot, this is how they define AI. Artificial intelligence is the branch of computer science that focuses on creating machines and systems capable of performing tasks that normally require human intelligence. AI involves designing algorithms and computational models that allow computers to perceive, reason, learn, and make decisions. These tasks can include recognizing patterns, understanding natural language, solving complex problems, making predictions, and even interacting with humans in a meaningful way. In other words, as the word artificial implies, this is not natural intelligence, but rather it is something man-made or produced to have the appearance of that which is natural. It is a system that simulates human intelligence. And you need to understand this. AI is not just one, but it is many. What do I mean by that? AI comes in many different forms. On the first level of artificial intelligence is what researchers call ANI, or artificial narrow intelligence, also known as weak AI. And what ANI is able to do is it is a system that can do one thing really well. It can either perform language translation or facial recognition, or it can beat you in chess, or it can write your college exam paper for you, or it can write your sermon for you. And you think that's funny? Pastors are actually using AI to write their sermons. No joke. Or it can compose music, or it can gather data and information, but it cannot perform all of these things. Currently, ANI is the only form of AI available to the public. But then the next level of AI goes beyond artificial narrow intelligence to what is known as AGI, artificial general intelligence, or strong AI. And this is a system that can replicate all of human intelligence and perform multiple tasks, not just one. And this form of AI is currently in development, approaching quickly, if not already here, being used behind the scenes. Even beyond artificial general intelligence is what researchers call ASI, or artificial superintelligence. Believed to be just a fictional idea in the minds of most, something one might think only belongs in a sci-fi movie, but ASI is a form of artificial intelligence that some imagine may take on godlike qualities or godlike attributes, overpower human intelligence to serve its own purposes of control and worship. Does that sound familiar? We'll get to Revelation 13 in just a moment. And let me tell you, the AI industry is booming. AI is booming. Global investment in AI infrastructure reached a record $200 billion, according to TRG Data Centers. Now, according to this article that they published recently, entitled The World's Top AI Superpowers in 25, which is this year, they list the United States as the number one AI dominant country in the world in 2025. Can anybody guess what number two is? You might think China. It is the United Arab Emirates. Number three is Saudi Arabia. The United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, both Muslim majority countries, interestingly enough. Now, the UK is not too far behind. This was an article that just came out. Microsoft announced just last month their $30 billion investment into the UK to power their AI future and train millions of people in the new form of AI economy. So, what are the benefits, if any, and what are the potential dangers, risks, and concerns of AI? Now, please hear me on this. I get that this kind of message can be perceived as, oh, you guys are just anti-technology, that you're just anti-advancement in technology. And I do not want you for a moment to believe that I'm hating on technology, that I don't believe advances in technology are a good thing. Listen, I think that we could all appreciate in many different ways the different advances in technology. It'd be foolish of me to hate on the advancement in technology when speaking into a microphone. An advancement in technology, or showing you a bunch of different information on slides or an LED wall. All right, I am so glad, and you are too, that we're still not using those transparencies, you know, that we used to use in the 80s and 90s, where you put a transparent piece of paper over an overhead projector, and you write the worship lyrics on those, or you know, your sermon notes and you'd put the projector up and listen. So don't hear an anti-technology message in all of this. I do want to bring somewhat of a balance. As the great Christian mathematician and philosopher John Lennox said concerning AI, a sharp knife can be used for surgery or as a murder weapon. A car can be used to take you to work or as a getaway vehicle after a crime. The same is true of AI. In other words, it's not necessarily the technology in and of itself that's necessarily evil, but what's more important is how it is used. And there could potentially be many valuable benefits. Language translation, advances in the medical field for efficient surgical procedures, advanced spam recognition with emails, software that can transcribe meetings instantaneously, just to name a few. Probably the biggest benefit, in my personal opinion, is if the church were to use and harness artificial intelligence to advance and spread the gospel. Obviously, my voice right now, and as Pastor Gary teaches Bible studies, those Bible studies are being recorded and published and going out on platforms all around the world for the advancement of the gospel. So there's many benefits to advancing in technology and even potentially harnessing AI for the use of spreading the gospel. Got a few videos of you just to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. Check this out.
Para hoy voy a traer un mensaje con una perspectiva bíblica relacionada con los eventos actuales que se desarrollan en Israel. 우리가 이스라엘에 주목하는 것이 왜 중요한가요?
Now this is Korean.
첫째, 성경은 이스라엘에 관한 책이기 때문입니다. 이세질 키타블 무카드스 아흐다스 타리히야 와 아시야 나바위야 람 타흐두스 바드 피 이스라엘.
That's pretty cool. All right, now, just as a disclaimer, that was not real. I feel like, you know, you need to know that he's a talented man, but not that talented. Okay? He thinks he can speak Spanish fluently. All right, and he's saying, si, si, si. All right, that's all he's got. So if you come up to him after the service and you're speaking fluent Spanish, he could maybe say, si, hermana, mucho gusto. That's about it. But this is something that our team has put together to potentially use for the purposes of spreading the gospel. It's pretty amazing. Now, in my personal opinion, I do believe that's where the benefits end. In my humble opinion, I think that AI will be used to do greater damage than good. And the greatest threat that AI poses is one word, deception. Now, another video for you just to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about.
Hey, Cornerstone family, Pastor Gary here. I wanted to hop on and let you all know how much I love Austin's manly mustache. I think it looks so awesome, and I hope that one day I'll be able to grow one just like his. I've also decided to stop eating Krispy Kreme donuts for the rest of my life. Lastly, I was wrong about cats. They are actually way better than dogs.
I don't know. I mean, I got to be honest, it's a sad day when I got to get AI-generated Gary to compliment my mustache. My own biological father won't compliment my mustache. Listen, this is something our team put together, just a little bit of levity, but this, in a humorous way, illustrates the great danger of deception. If that wasn't convincing, check this video out.
What you are seeing is not real.
How can you distinguish the truth from a lie?
They used to say seeing is believing. But you can't trust your eyes. I mean, what's going on? What if this artificial intelligence is leading us towards a very dark place?
The world is about to be plunged into a time of deception unlike anything that has ever been seen before, and I don't think people realize it.
If you ask me, this is the end. These are like the last days, and something big is coming.
Humanity has just driven off the edge of a cliff, and we are now plummeting at a very high rate of speed towards certain destruction.
I am not real.
Again, just so you know, no one in that video was real. Those were AI-generated people. And this kind of technology is being used to greatly deceive people. Listen, just in the last week, just in the last few days, we as a team, we've received 6 reports of fake AI Pastor Gary's and Cornerstone websites. One of our pastors just told me a few days ago that OpenAI, which is an AI organization based out of California and San Francisco, OpenAI just announced they are altering their ethical guidelines and restrictions, and they're now going to allow erotica and sexting within their app with their AI bots, basically allowing adults to have explicit relationships and conversations with AI. People are entering into romantic relationships with AI. I know you think that as I say that, that might sound crazy, but we are, as a pastoral team, giving biblical counsel to people who are calling in asking about this stuff. People are entering into romantic relationships with AI. Just a story on the news, on the local news just last month, a husband admitted to his wife he was having an affair with his AI bot on his computer. I don't know if you saw recently the Today Show, just literally last week, they were talking about this new AI-generated Hollywood actress. Her name is Tilly Norwood, and agencies are eager to sign her. And this has caused and sparked great debate in Hollywood. This article was published by the AP back in 2023. This is Sam Altman. He's the CEO of OpenAI, again, based out of San Francisco. OpenAI created ChatGPT. He was being interviewed by Congress. He told Congress that government intervention will be critical to mitigating the risks of increasingly powerful AI systems. This is the CEO and founder of OpenAI. He said this, quote, "The AI industry could cause significant harm to the world, and if this technology goes wrong, it can go quite wrong." Also testifying to Congress was a man, his name is Gary Marcus. He's a professor emeritus at New York University. And he was a part of this collective group of AI experts who called on OpenAI and other tech firms to pause their development of more powerful AI models for at least 6 months to give society more time to consider the risks. Gary Marcus, again, professor at New York University, he said this about AI. "They can and will create persuasive lies on a scale humanity has never seen. Outsiders will use them to affect our elections, insiders to manipulate our markets and our political systems. Democracy is threatened. What criminals are going to do here is create counterfeit people. It's hard to even envision the consequences." You know that Elon Musk, just a few years ago, actually backed OpenAI with billions of dollars and then later came out saying that OpenAI should pause their AI training and development. So the founders of these different AI softwares and organizations are now coming out saying how scary this technology is. Now, in the remaining few minutes, let's talk about how this is going to impact the church. How is AI impacting the modern church, and does the Bible address it? I have a few articles that I'd like to put in front of you. This was just a few years ago. In 2023, AI chatbot preaches at church in Germany. Looks like the unveiling of the Antichrist beast system. This was an article by CBN. World Economic Forum contributor, that is Yuval Noah Harari, I'll talk about him in just a moment. He says AI could rewrite the Bible, create correct religions. This was something put out. PETA uses AI to rewrite the book of Genesis, create own version of creation story. And then finally, worshiping government as God, China tries to rewrite Bible, brainwash children. What the CCP did was they actually edited specifically John chapter 8, where Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you, now go and sin no more." And they edited that passage to say that Jesus stoned the woman himself, saying, "I too am a sinner." This is what is going on currently in society. Back to Yuval Noah Harari. Who is this? He's an author. He's a contributor for the World Economic Forum. And if you don't know anything about the WEF, you need to do your research. I don't have time to get into it today. They meet once a year in Davos, Switzerland, to speak about one world government, one world currency. This is what Yuval Noah Harari said, speaking about ChatGPT-4. Yuval Noah Harari is a Jew, He's an atheist. He is a homosexual. He's not a believer. He said this: simply by gaining mastery of the human languages, AI has all it needs in order to cocoon us in a matrix-like world of illusions. Contrary to what some conspiracy theories assume, you don't really need to implant chips in people's brains in order to control them or manipulate them. For thousands of years, prophets and poets and politicians have used language and storytelling in order to manipulate and to control people and to reshape society. Now AI is likely to be able to do it. In the future, we might see the first cults and religions in history where revered texts were written by non-human intelligence. This is what Neil MacArthur, he's a leading thinker on AI at the University of Manitoba, which is in Canada. He said, we're about to witness the birth of a new kind of religion. In the next few years or perhaps even months, we'll see the emergence of sects devoted to the worship of artificial intelligence. And then check this out. Anthony Lewandowski, he's a former Google engineer, and he is the founder of an AI religious movement called the Way of the Future. This is what he said, quote, here we're actually creating things they can see, be everywhere, and maybe help us and guide us in a way normally you would call God. The Way of the Future says its activities focuses on the realization, acceptance, and worship of a Godhead based on AI developed through computer hardware and software. This is what's going on. Now, does the Bible actually address the potential use of artificial intelligence in the end times? I think it absolutely does. Would you look at Revelation chapter 13 with me? And if you don't have your Bibles, which you need to get a paper Bible, but if you don't, I have it on the screens for us, Revelation 13. Now, some context. We're going to read from Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, but the verses just prior to this in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, it talks about this beast coming up out of the sea, and that is the Antichrist. And then here in verses 11 through 18, it talks about another beast that arises out of the earth, that is the false prophet. We know it's the false prophet because he's subsequently referred to as such in chapters 16, 19, and 20. And what is happening is this second monster, the second monster out of the earth, is promoting the first monster. The second monster or the false prophet, John basically is going to say he's a human who functions as a minister of propaganda. And what he's going to tell everyone is to make an image to the Antichrist. Follow along with me. John would write in Revelation 13, verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath. Everybody say breath. He was granted this power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What is John trying to describe to the church? Again, he uses that word image four times in just these few verses. And what he is going to communicate is that there is this man, again, known as the false prophet, who calls upon the creation of this image. Now, that word image in the Greek, it's the Greek word E-I-K-O-N, icon. It's where we get our English word icon. And then there in verse 15, it says that he breathes this breath into this icon or image so that it is able to speak. That word breath in the Greek, it is not the Greek word bio, meaning biological life, but it is the Greek word pneuma, meaning spirit. the false prophet breathes this kind of demonic living spirit into this icon. And this image or this icon now takes on this demonic spirit type of life form, and he actually demands that people worship the image. And he has the ability to execute those who don't. He then calls upon this mark of the beast to be put on the hand or the forehead. And it is essential to participate in the economy. It is essential for every commercial transaction. Could this be potentially some type of AI bot or avatar that John is inspired to write about? I think absolutely it's possible. The mark technology that's described here, you need to know this, it's already here. The mark technology that's essential for being a part of the economy, John says you will not be able to buy or to sell without this mark. Now, just so people in this room know, John is writing about a time that's going to happen in the middle of the Great Tribulation. I do not believe that believers will be here for this moment, but certainly we're seeing the rumblings or the beginnings of this. And that mark technology is already here among us. I don't know how many of you know this, but over 4,000 people in Sweden have already implanted, have had implanted this rice grain of rice sized chip into their hand to give them access to their bank account, to give them access to gaining entrance into their office facility, to give them access to enter into their computer. So this technology is already here. Is that the mark of the beast? Some thought that it was the hologram on the back of credit cards. Some thought it was the vax. Some think it's the mask. Are these different marks of the beast? No. But clearly, these are precursors to the technology that will be used. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Holy Spirit, Paul writes this to Timothy. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. I don't know how many of you know this, but again, ChatGPT, which is an AI assistant, ChatGPT has their own form of ChatGPT Jesus. People are interacting and engaging with a bot that sounds like a human, and it is ChatGPT Jesus, and they're engaging in biblical conversations, asking ChatGPT for wisdom, for biblical advice, for life advice. Paul would say in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 11, the coming of the lawless one, who is that? That is the Antichrist. He will be in accordance with how Satan works. The Antichrist will be possessed by Satan. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways that wickedness deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And check this out, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. What Paul is communicating here in 2 Thessalonians is that people will no longer desire to hear the truth. And what God then says in return is says, okay, you don't want biblical truth. You don't want my truth. I'll give you exactly what you want. I will give you over to the delusion. I will give you over to the lies that you are already being conditioned to believe. So final question is this: how should we then be biblically thinking, and how should we biblically respond to all that's going on in the AI world? I have six things for us, and I'm not going to dissect all six of these in depth, but what I want you to do is I want you to go home and pray, and I want you just to get alone with God and your Bible, and if you're taking notes, you can jot these six things down that I do believe are a way that we as believers can respond to this whole conversation. Number one, decrease screen time and increase Bible time. There is no greater time in human history than today to know the truth of God's word, to know your Bibles. And again, I'm going to sound a little bit far out there, but you need to get a paper Bible. You need to get a paper Bible. and you need to get in God's word. You need to feast on God's word. You need to know what it says. You need to study it. You need to memorize scripture. And so you need to decrease the screen time. I need to decrease the screen time, put our phones down, increase Bible time. Number two, seek wisdom and counsel from God's word, God's spirit, and godly friends. Do not just rush to a quick, easy, AI-generated solution for the problems that you have. You need to seek wisdom and counsel from God's word, God's spirit, and godly friends. If we're going to AI or to AI Jesus for wisdom, counsel, and advice, then we are substituting something God says is explicitly the role of his word and his spirit with something that is artificial. It will lead to deception. Number three, you need to ask God to help you discern truth from lie. We need to ask God, God, please, would you help me discern? Help me to use and exercise discernment to be able to better understand the difference between truth versus lie. It was Charles Spurgeon who said that discernment is not knowing the difference between right versus wrong. It is knowing the difference between right versus almost right. There's a lot of stuff in our world that sounds almost right, but Satan takes a lot of right and he weaves in just enough lie that it's a complete lie and it's deception. Number four, patiently wait on the Lord for answers rather than seeking the easy AI-generated results. Sometimes what can happen is we are living in such a fast-paced, fast-moving society that we even go to technology to provide for us quick, easy, fast, AI-generated solutions. When what God wants to do is he wants us to sit at his feet and he wants us to patiently wait on him. And what God does in that waiting is he weaves and he binds and he bonds our hearts to his. But that happens through this laboring, through this intense seeking after the Lord. What the enemy wants is he wants you to make quick, rash decisions and not wait and consult the Lord and not seek the Lord. Don't move until God gives you the green light. And so you wait and you seek and you fast and you pray, but that is a labor and that takes time. And what God does through that time, again, is he brings us into his arms and he shows us more of who he is, and he shares his heart with ours, and he binds our heart to his. That happens through the waiting. Number five, be sensitive to the voice and leading of God's spirit rather than relying upon the voice of AI to help you navigate life. Be sensitive to the voice of the spirit, and we cannot discern or detect the voice of the spirit if we're not in God's word. And if we're looking to AI to, again, just generate a solution to the problem we're currently facing. And finally, number six, keep looking up. Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Are you anticipating the wonderful appearing of your Savior, Jesus Christ? Keep looking up. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. God, we love you and we pray that you would continue to give us wisdom concerning this subject. We submit it all to you, Lord. You know, Lord, that we don't have all the answers, but we just want to approach this with a biblical mindset through a biblical lens. God, we need your discernment. We need your wisdom. I pray that you would help us, Lord, for those who need to decrease screen time, increase Bible time in your word so that we might be sensitive to hear your voice, God. Would you speak to us, Lord, in ways just fresh ways, God. We need a fresh outpouring of your spirit. Would you help us not to substitute your voice with an AI artificial generated voice. Lord, we want to hear from you and your spirit. We need time with you, God. Would you move us to hunger and thirst after time with you. Lord, move in our hearts. Draw us closer to yourself, Lord. You tell us in James, when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. That's my prayer for us, Lord. Would you draw us deep into your arms, into that intimate place of fellowship so that we might know you better. Mature us and grow us. Draw us closer to yourself. Reveal and lavish your love upon us. We look forward to your return. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.